This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Quitting time on your Tuesday, 5 o'clock here on Fan Run Radio. Hey, I'm Russell Smith. I got Bear and Rick Butler with me for another hour right here on Fan Run. We're set to break things down here. Time for the Top 5 at 5, brought to you this afternoon by our friends at G&J Auto Services. Guy?
Thank you, Russ. Starting off, number one, we talked about this a little bit, but the Tennessee Smokies are supposed to have their first game of the season today, but that has been canceled due to the weather.
It was not to be. The weather is not cooperating, and it just ain't going to happen. It's unfortunate.
They really tried, though. It seems like if they waited this long to kind of, you know, be able to push it back, it's been
raining
all day.
When are we going to get that dome, that retractable roof over Smoky Stadium in Sevierville?
It's kind of a bummer because, you know, last year got bombed out with COVID. You get all the way to opening. It's opening day, right?
Yeah.
It's a beautiful park, man. I hope that they're able to find a tenant and so that they're able to use that once we hopefully, knock on wood, get the downtown ballpark built in the next 2 years.
All right, number two, Teron Davenport is reporting that the Titans have agreed to terms with wide receiver Fred Brown on a multi-year deal. If you're not familiar with Fred Brown, you're probably not alone. He only played in one game last year and had two catches for 20 yards.
So he's just a guy you sign to a minimum contract, just like, come on in, camp, we'll see what happens.
I guess so.
Probably no guarantee that he even makes the team, right?
Former SEC guy, played at Mississippi State with Dak. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, if he does, he'll be a special teamer, more than likely.
A little short on bodies. That wide receiver room's got me worried because you've got A.J. Brown and the dude from the
– Josh Reynolds.
Yeah, from the Chargers.
Rams.
Or the Rams, who, whatever, is – and then you got a whole bunch of nothing. You got Fitzpatrick and a bunch of dudes who
– You got like – Yeah. Was it Westbrook from last year?
Yeah, and Brown has shown a tendency to be banged up. He's a very physical player, so you're just thinking, I mean, if one of those guys gets hurt, where are you?
And they don't have a tight end right now either to supplement the lack of receiver depth. So, I mean,
are you surprised that it was a multi-year deal? I know the numbers haven't actually been disclosed yet, but for a guy who has so little experience, yeah, are you a little more surprised it wasn't maybe a one-year trial run?
Yeah, I'm surprised it was multi-year. Yeah.
Do we do a trade for Julio Jones?
I hope so. I really do.
What do we have to offer? A bunch of draft picks in the future?
Rashawn Evans.
But this is the last year of his deal, right? And he's been, I won't say a bust, but certainly disappointing for a first rounder.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I did see somewhere where there was a speculation that we were going to offer Rashawn Evans for Hayden Hurst from the Falcons for like a straight up deal. Because now that they have Kyle Pitts, they don't really need Hayden Hurst anymore.
I can see that. Okay.
All right.
I'd have Julio.
I'd much rather have Julio. Can you imagine him and AJ together?
What do you think, Bear? Julio Jones and AJ Brown. Tannehill just drops back and flips it up there. Unstoppable.
All right.
I mean, it would definitely. I was kind of surprised at how much talent left that Titans offense.
Yeah. It's a lot, man.
I mean, why'd they let that tight end, what's the tight end?
Jonnu Smith.
Jonnu Smith?
Yeah.
I don't think that was really smart, man.
I don't know. For as much as New England paid him, I don't think he was worth what he got paid. No.
Money, man. It's money. They would have liked to keep Jonnu Smith, but you're in these big contracts now with Tannehill and Henry, and there's just not a lot left to go around.
What are the Titans going to have to give up for Julio?
I don't think he's even worth a first-round pick at this point. I don't think you would have to give up a first-rounder to get him.
You have to give up, I think, probably a couple of picks.
I think a couple, but Atlanta's hurting so much in cap space right now. Like they have to unload some of their money.
Sure.
Let him go. Let him go, Atlanta.
Let Julio go?
Free him. Bring him to the – you don't want to play in that dome on fake turf. Come to Nashville. Tighten up, baby.
All right, moving on.
What about
on.
Him in Pittsburgh? That'd be interesting.
You'll move on when we say you move on, GP3. Move on.
All right, let's go. Moving on to number three. Talking about LeBron James again. He's back in the news.
Yay.
For some comments he's made.
Oh, God.
Last year, when COVID first struck and they decided to go into the bubble and do the play-in tournament for the playoffs, he was on record saying that it was a good idea. All those teams down low, like Memphis and the Suns and the Trailblazers, let all those teams fight it out. Well, just a couple nights ago, I think it was two nights ago after their loss, which put them down there in the bottom seven, he came under fire for comments saying whoever came up with that play-in tournament should be fired. So he's kind of contradicting himself now that this team isn't in position and might actually have to play in the play-in game.
It's the face of your team, Bear. Mr. Laker, LeBron James.
I will wash my hands of this era.
Why? You're defending champions, man. He brought you a title.
I don't care. It's not the same as Kobe or Magic or Kareem or Shaq or, you know, where in any of the great Lakers. I mean, he's a mercenary. I've been out front about this from the very start.
No, it's so weird.
I am not a LeBron fan.
A guy who's just rode that roller coaster for his entire career of he was very well liked when he was when he was young with the Cavs, and then he does a complete heel turn with the Heat.
The decision.
People hated him. And
it's
then
like NWO, Rick.
He kind of wins back some fame. He goes to Cleveland, brings a championship to the Cavaliers, and I found him very likable in
it
that
was hard
period
not
of,
to root
of his
for
career.
Him.
Yeah. And now he's gone
back into a total tool shed.
Yeah, he's gone to the Lakers and he's become a big dork again. Weird.
It just comes off as just fake. It's just, dude, come on, just, you know. As a Laker fan, I'm not real thrilled with this era. I mean, I'll count the championship, you know I will. But, I mean, he's definitely
now who's
not
being
on
fake? You phony? You fraud?
No, I mean, we won the thing.
We.
But it's not like, you know, the Kobe years, and it's certainly not Showtime. Get the hell out of here.
All right, number four. The same issue that happened in Europe with the Super League seems to be happening now with professional golf. A group of Saudi investors have been apparently reaching out to some of the top golfers in the world, trying to persuade them to come join their premier golf league, offering upwards of $30 million per golfer to stop playing on the PGA Tour and join their league instead.
That's not going to work.
They tried to start it up last year around Christmas time around 2019.
How many would they have to get to make it?
They wouldn't be able to because I think so, like specifically Augusta and some of the other big time like legendary golf courses, they've got the ultimate leverage.
I do find this really interesting. It said they've already had big offers to Dustin Johnson, Justin Rose, Brooks Koepka, Phil Mickelson. I mean, even if nothing happens at all, which seems to be more likely, find it very interesting that this is again another instance of trying to collect this talent.
It's not the same as the Super League, because the Super League involves fan passion and communities and their ties to the team. These are just individuals.
Sure.
And it's not teams, and it's not a location or anything like that. I'll say this. We're all afraid of radical change. The PGA Tour has been the PGA Tour for as long as any of us can remember. But I would rather watch, aside from the majors, just some random weekend in May, I'd rather watch the dozen or so best players in the world at a really hard course with no field fillers where I'm just following those guys, and if they can present it well, is mic'd up and stuff like that, I'd rather watch that than the Valero Open in Houston, you know, whatever.
I'm with you.
The problem is that you're going to have some level of filler because all those guys can't – they don't operate on the same schedules. I mean, some of them you get – two or three guys that are out and need two or three weeks off, or I mean, those guys like their time off. Russ, I don't know if you know this about professional golfers, They take a little bit of time off.
I think they'd also like $30 million, though, up front.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what happens when Augusta and Wingfoot and all these golf courses
when it gets fun.
That have ties to the PGA, the U.S. Open courses specifically, like I'm sure they would make an exception for Augusta to let those guys play in that. But if you start talking about the courses that the PGA directly controls and those guys aren't going to be allowed on those to compete on those courses, I just don't see it happening.
To me, that's what makes the conversation interesting.
Seems pretty far-fetched. I don't dismiss it out of hand, but it does seem pretty far-fetched.
All right, moving on, number five, last one for the day. A man from North Carolina broke the Guinness World Record for the most push-ups completed in 1 hour. The previous record was 2,900 push-ups. He did 3,050.
Whoa!
What?
And then he went on for 11 more hours in an effort to attempt the 12-hour record for most push-ups done in a 12-hour span. That record was at 19,325 push-ups. He fell just short at 16,400.
Oh, no.
Just short. 3,000 push-ups.
Oh, no. Poor guy. That's
How
amazing.
How sore would you be? Can he even move?
I wouldn't be able to. There's no way.
In an hour.
I imagine the lactic acid buildup would be just off the charts.
He's doing 3,000 push-ups in an hour. Does he take a break, or does he just have a nice rhythm where he's just cranking them out?
It does say that they offered like break time as part of the record or whatever, but he did it wrong or something like that. Like he didn't utilize his break time the way he should have, and that's why he said he failed. Because I guess he was allotted so much break time, and he didn't take full advantage of it.
Weird.
You know, that guy probably looks like Will Stevens, some skinny, rail thin, just ripped guy. Just real light. You can just crank him out.
Okay. That is the top five.
You're not going to see some hoss like me cranking out 2,000 push-ups in an hour. It's going to be some skinny dude like Rick or one of the skinny guys at the station.
I imagine it would be a hoss with short arms. The shorter arms, the more bench press or push-ups you can do.
But think about like a Trey Smith, right? Trey Smith can probably do so much bench press because all you're doing is lifting the weight. He's got to also lift
his
own
push
body
himself
weight.
Up.
That could be what Bear's saying.
This is a pretty big dude. I'm looking at the video now.
That's a big dude.
Yeah. I mean,
is it?
He looks like he's in the gym every day lifting.
You think I think he's probably in pretty good shape, GP3.
No, I'm saying like he's lifting heavy weights. He's not just in there trying to get tone. He's trying to compete for a strongest man competition.
Lightweight.
You ever watch those? Any of you guys?
The Mountain?
Oh, yeah.
I went down a YouTube rabbit hole where The Mountain was involved and there was a big controversy.
There are, there's so many good documentaries on The Mountain. Or Mark Henry, formerly of the WWE.
Off. The Mountain did.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
He got rooked.
Top 5 at 5 is brought to you by G&J Auto Graphics. No rooking here. No ripoffs here, folks. G&J Auto Graphics. I love these guys, man. Brand new business. Just opened up a month before last and been doing some stuff with us over here at Fan Run. Great locally owned and operated business. Go check them out, gnjauto.com. Auto Graphics. So, if you're a local business owner and you want to turn your vehicle into a mobile billboard, you see this all over town. We have a lot of, our guys, our advertisers, whether it's Knoxville Smiles or Blue Water Climate Control, like they have their vans, right? North Knox Siding and Windows, they have their vans, their trucks with their logo on the side and the web address and the phone number and all that. You got to have it, man. I mean, it is critical to building any sort of decent local business right now. And that's what G&J Auto Graphics does. Check them out, gnjauto.com. Call them up. Tell them we sent you. They'll do a free workup for you and talk to you about what they can do for you and do your fleet and all that stuff, man. So, again, gnjauto.com is the website. Their shop's over here in West Knoxville, Parkside Drive. And they'll do a great job for you. Let them know we sent you from Fan Run Radio for G&J Auto Graphics. All right, let's get Jamie in here. He's been hanging patiently for a long time now. Good afternoon, Jamie. You're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
No sweat, Russ. I usually listen through the phone anywho, so no big deal.
Gotcha.
Barry, you were talking about – somebody was asking you about those fullbacks, and you brought up big Sam Henderson, man. That was a –
well,
you could have played offensive guard. No, you're thinking of William Howard.
William Howard. Sam Henderson.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Sam Henderson.
Both of them were bad guys. Just incredible players.
Yeah, William Howard actually ended up playing some tailback here, or at least single back. I think he holds the record for most carries in a row in a game, perhaps.
Yeah, against Mississippi State. Yeah, we ran it. We ran him, what, like 12 or 13 times in a row?
Mm-hmm. I mean, when you're running behind our line back then and you're William Howard, why stop? I mean, different time, different era of football, but we certainly imposed our will. But, yeah, that big Sam Henderson, big number 43. And, you know, my next big one would be probably Roland Poles as far as being able to move people.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Big hole. Real quick, guys, what was the starting linebackers yesterday for the in-state?
Hold on. I'll pull this up for you because we want to get this right.
I know it was Al Wilson.
So, yeah, it was Al Wilson, Eric Westmoreland, Nick Revaise got some love. And that was my three. I think we had maybe another name or two that that people brought up.
You had Derek Barnett at one defensive end, right?
Oh, yeah.
I would replace him with one Leonard Little.
Well, I mean, that's Leonard was from North Carolina.
I thought he was out of the state of Tennessee.
No. He's from North Carolina.
Huh. For some reason, I thought him and Travis Cozart.
Well, they came. You're thinking they came in together from JUCO. I remember that was a huge story, and of course, Cozart never made it. But Leonard's from Asheville.
That's right. Okay,
right up
We'll put him on today's team then.
And I believe they played. Little was a JUCO guy and ended up playing 3 years here. I'm not sure exactly how that worked.
He played his freshman year at JUCO, and then he came here sophomore year.
I think so he actually came here. He came here straight out of high school. I remember they pulled him off the practice field and said, "You're not." He was getting set to play, and they said, "You didn't qualify. You got to go to junior college." And he did it. He went to Coffeyville in Kansas and made it back.
They brought him right back up here the next year, though, as soon as they got him eligible. But you mentioned that Bergdorf thing earlier. I was at a coaching clinic at Clemson, and they were talking about how to defend. They were putting cut films up, and they put that play up. This is a textbook way to defend the option. This is how you do it. And it was that play from Tennessee, Bama.
Too many times you see that defensive end just get out there and squat and try to force the quarterback to either make a move or not. And Leonard Little just saw blood. Just like, let me stick the crown of my helmet in your face. And if you can get that pitch off before I hit you, you deserve it.
He jacked. He was completely spring-loaded, wasn't he, Russ? You had me fired up earlier talking about it. I'd forgotten all about it.
He folded Bergdorf right down the middle. That was something else.
Yeah.
Let's see. Some corners. We haven't really hit on some corners. We really don't have that great a tradition. I love me some Andre Kramer, though. Was he safety or corner?
He was a safety, I believe.
Yeah, I think so too.
I mean, T-Mac, Terry McDaniel. I mean, there's some
Terry McDaniel.
I feel like we're leaving out a bunch of like really good guys off the 80s teams.
I would consider Dwayne Goodrich as an alternate. I don't know if I'd put him as a starter on that squad. Russell, you were talking about the kid that played with the lacerated kidney. Who was that kid?
That was Raynock Thompson.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's right. Who was the white guy that hit the guy from UCLA so hard on a kick return or something that he fractured his orbital?
Greg Johnson. Hit a guy so hard he broke his face.
Yeah, he did. Oh, man. Well, you know, y'all brought up Dale Carter earlier, too, talking about he was a headhunter. But you know what was so cool about Dale Carter is he was a three-tool player. He was a headhunter, and he had great skills back there. He picked off a lot of passes, for his safety, and he also never called a fair catch in his life.
Russ, you put him over in that same group with guys we were talking about earlier, Eric Berry, Deion Grant,
Who, Dale Willie Carter?
Gall. Dale Carter, is he over there with that group of guys on that level athletically?
You know what? Here's the thing, and I was younger than – I'm a few years younger than you guys, but back then, certainly Dale Carter was an awesome player, had some huge moments as a Vol. His longevity in the NFL, to me, kind of like added to his mystique, because I knew he was a good player here, but I didn't think at the time that he was going to be what he was in the NFL. He played for well over 10 years as an elite Pro Bowl player in the National Football League.
I got one for you. I cannot believe this guy's name's not been brought up in any of this conversation the past 2 days. What about Charlie Garner,
Give us a hint, Barry. Give us a hint. Don't just drop him out. Let's see if we can name him.
Well, he just threw it out, but he didn't hear. Go ahead. Drop JUCO running back.
Charlie Garner.
Big Charlie. That's a great
Bear's
one,
really bad at this game.
It's like he was guessing his own guy.
He
guessed his own guy. You got it right.
You're right, Bear. Way to go.
But Bear, Charlie Garner was so good.
You said I already threw it out there. He was badass.
He was
Charlie Garner.
He put James Littleman Stewart and Darren Hayden on the
bench. Yes, he did. Two-year starters.
Yeah, Littleman Stewart and A'Ron Hayden.
Yep.
I mean, guys that had already won big games and made big-time plays here. And they, Charlie showed up, and it was.
He might have been the most talented running back I've ever seen play here. Now, Jamal Lewis had size and speed, but you talk about playing like a water bug, as they used to say back in the 80s. Man, he could – that run against Alabama where we ended up tying them down there, where he – come straight up the line, and then next thing you know, he's at a right angle heading for the sideline on that big run where he goes
down. Helicoptered in there. And the thing, Garner's another one, man, where, he was a great player at Tennessee, but if you had told me that he was going to play 10 years plus, whatever it was, in the NFL, I probably wouldn't have believed it.
Decorated?
Yeah, but, I mean, he had a great career with the Raiders, mostly.
Yeah. 49ers, too, didn't he? Maybe not.
I think
it was
so. Russ, the helicopter was orange bottoms, white tops, UCLA 89, and that was Chuck Webb. You think the one I'm talking about with Garner was all white?
Yeah, I remember.
Where, he runs down the sideline, and one Antonio Langham puts the clothesline on him as he goes in the end zone, which I had a lot of respect. Langham did not give up on that play. He outran his defense from across the field to at least try to make a play on him, and just barely got to Garner as he crossed the end zone and laid him out. I mean, clotheslined him out of bounds. So
he damn near killed him. Could have cracked his larynx. That's a cheap shot.
Antonio Langham, he was a player. He was a player. He could play on some Nick Saban teams. He'd start over some of their first round draft picks. So
I don't give a damn about all these guys Saban's got now. I'll still the most ferocious defense I've ever seen in my life is that 92 Alabama team that
92?
Came in here.
Yeah.
They like to kill Heath Shuler that day.
Yeah, the bookends.
Ten of 11 starters.
Was it Copeland and Curry on the defensive line? That was pretty nasty. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good memory right there, Russ. That defense was stout. This is such a good combo, man. I'm glad y'all come up with it. I hope we can find some more, ways to put some twists and turns on it. But, I wonder if we could come up maybe with the all-JUCO team, like Billy Williams out there.
What a great idea.
Wow.
I love it. Yeah. The all-JUCO team.
Tremendous.
Fantastic. Good stuff, JB.
All right. Y'all hang in there.
Thanks, man. We got some breaking news, unfortunately. This is not good news.
No, boy, no.
Well, this is probably a guy that we should be talking about for the offensive line portion of this, but Adam Schefter reporting just about 18 minutes ago that Denver Broncos offensive lineman Juwan James suffered a season-ending torn Achilles tendon working out today away from the team facility. James's $10 million salary for the upcoming season now is in jeopardy, being that Denver is no longer obligated to pay him working out off-site. Oh, man.
That sucks. Man.
And he opted out of he did not play last year, right?
No, he opted out last year, and the year before that he had a knee injury.
Yeah.
So he only played in three games.
So he's going to miss three seasons in a row.
Yeah.
Wow. He signed that huge deal with Denver.
That's heavy. And you're right, a guy that we actually did talk about, we mentioned at the beginning of the show today. So that is very unfortunate news, but wishing him the best on the recovery. And hoping that the whole, you know, everything with the money, you know, is hopefully not as bad as it sounds like it could be.
I hope he's invested well.
Yeah. No good.
Not blowing his money on those NBA packs that you've been buying. What are they called? The NFTs?
Oh, the Top Shot? Yeah, the NFTs.
What are you doing?
We opened those yesterday.
Young kids and your Dogecoin and your NFTs.
You seeing this thing fly up the market today?
Hey, Doge is up to like 60 cents.
Yeah. Us young kids getting rich off this thing.
Yeah. What are you
doing?
Well,
at least we're trying.
Next to me?
We're trying. We're trying.
Getting rich.
Trying.
Stay with us. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio. More of your phone calls coming up.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio has...
Fan Run Radio. Drive continues. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show with us. This afternoon, right back to it. Joe is up next on the Drive. Good afternoon, Joe.
Gentlemen, how are we doing?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
Doing well. So I've been a little out of the loop here. So I'm just going to throw out a couple of names that probably maybe already been thrown out there, but I'm going to throw out for DBs. Who do y'all have down right now as DBs?
So this is for the out-of-state group.
Out-of-state.
We've got right. Eric Berry and Fred White as safeties. Who did we had a – oh,
Terry, you got to have – Terry Fair's got to be – Terry Fair's a – I mean, he's
– You put T. Fair on there.
Oh, absolutely.
Inky Johnson was the other unanimous selection.
Oh, well, you've got to have Deion Grant on there. He's one of the greatest ones to ever play. I mean, he's one of my favorite players of all time, Deion Grant.
So, we talked about him a lot
today. Yeah, so we had a long conversation about Deion. Now, this is the blood and guts team. So it's not necessarily the best player. It's not necessarily the most talented player. It's not.
That's fair. I can go along with that.
Yeah, which, I mean, Deion, no doubt, may be the most talented DB that's ever suited up in the orange and white. I think Tim Priest told me that. Like, he's up there, man. Just a phenomenal athlete and a great player. I
think what it is these are the guys that I feel like the Drive feels like are the kind of guys that to beat them, you're going to have to kill them.
All right. So I've got to put
blood and guts team.
Yeah.
You got to really, you're going to die before you lose.
So for yesterday, the one that I was trying to remember and I just could not remember for the life of me. And so this is how, ironically, how I came across the name and who I was trying to think of yesterday. So my mom, you remember those old trading cards you used to get back? Like, God, they run them for like maybe a couple of years. Maybe 95 area, right around there. 96, 97, right around
for
in that
Tennessee
time
players?
Frame. Yeah.
They did, and I've got some of these. I bet they're at my parents'
of course
house somewhere.
You do.
In 1990, they did 100 years of volunteers. They celebrated.
Oh, that's what he did. Yeah.
100
yeah.
years of Tennessee football. I've got a bunch of those somewhere. But yeah, those were
my mom
cool.
had some of them there still down at her house. And so the name I was trying to think of yesterday was Shazam Bradley.
Oh!
Shazam Bradley has got to be put on there or somewhere.
How did we not mention Shazam Bradley yesterday, Bear?
I mentioned him.
You did?
Yeah.
No,
I mentioned
didn't.
Him yesterday. Yeah, Shazam Bradley. He was I can't remember how many times state champion heavyweight
boxer.
Wrestler.
He's a boxer.
Yeah, just the meanest
yeah,
dude
he was
to
a
lie.
Boxer. And honest to God, one of the nicest guys. That guy will give you the shirt off his back. I've never in my life, he's in my top three nicest people I've ever met in my life. Just the most kind person. But you did not want to see him on a field of play of any sport. He's a killer. Yeah. Freak athlete. But his freshman year, he was, 6'1", 225, 230? Like 6% body fat. He was ripped.
they had him listed on the card at like 6'2", 250, I think, on the card playing D tackle. I was like, that doesn't seem right, but maybe it was. I didn't remember it quite as well, but
he was kind of before his time. Like if he came up now, he would fit like these some of these crazy defenses that in how players position their shape has changed. He would feast playing in the modern day NFL defense, as athletic as he was.
For sure.
I mean, he's a freak athlete. All right, guys.
Thank you, Joe. Good to hear from you, my man.
I mean, you talk about moving like a cat, just cat-like reflexes. He's an incredible wrestler.
Who's up next? GP3.
We got Andy up next.
Andy, you're on the drive, Fan Run Radio.
Hey, how's it going today, guys?
Going well. How are you, sir?
Doing good. I don't know if I've got – I missed out on the fact, are we just naming, like, out-of-state guys? Cause,
yeah.
I mean, I've got some, Blood like, and guts team. Balls, but, okay, so I was mainly just thinking – I'm trying to think about defensive backs. Now, this guy's from Lynchburg, so he's not going to make your out-of-state team, but has anyone talked about Bobby Majors yet?
Yeah, we talked about him some yesterday. Great defensive back, special teams ace, for sure.
Okay. And then George Kafago doesn't get mentioned enough, running back.
Rick mentioned bad news Kafago yesterday.
Dadgum right.
Kafago's on the team somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, Tennessee's not rolling out without Kafago.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to find the field.
I mean, the old timers out there will tell you that the 1939 team, which is the last team in college football history to go through an entire regular season undefeated and unscored upon, would have defeated Southern Cal in the Rose Bowl had Kafago not had a knee injury before the game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the guy was just an absolute monster.
What are we talking about? A guy who played in the 1930s. Like, any of us know what kind of game he had. I feel you, though, Joe.
I mean, he sounds like one of the saltiest people they've ever had over there. I mean, the guy's
a legend.
What about
Stanley Morgan? Stanley the Manly Morgan.
Stanley Steamer.
Where's he from?
He was on the draft the other night. Did you see that? He still looks good, too.
But I was just thinking about some old names, you know, that nobody talks about, like maybe Jeff Powell, you know,
he's
from the 85-86 Sugar Balls.
Yeah.
You know, just track star. Back when we had, like, full-on, like, people that could actually just burners, you know. If he had an inch of daylight, he was gone. You know, the guy was, like, a track champion. He ran hurdles. Just a stud.
That's where you can say, Russ, that it did not help football when we let our track program slip.
Yep. Yep. Anyway, that's who I was thinking of, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for the phone call. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show with us this afternoon. Banging through some phone calls. In the 5 o'clock hour here, Westchester's up next. Good afternoon, Westchester.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Excuse me. Sorry about that. How are we doing today, guys?
You clear your throat, I'll clear my throat. Now we're
there
both good.
There you go. We'll make it even there. Did y'all mention, I don't think I've heard him yet, Cozy Coleman?
Ooh. From
His
Georgia?
His name got thrown out there, I feel like. I don't think we're forgetting Cozy.
I'm just trying to think back to linemen from our era.
He is big and nasty. Somebody voted for Fred Weary online earlier in the day.
That's a pretty solid one.
No,
another classic nice guy.
Number 72.
Yeah, he was nasty on it for sure.
Yeah, oh yeah, he was
from Alabama. Another offensive lineman from Alabama.
Fred Weary.
I was curious. Is there anybody that you could think of off the top of your head on this list from Louisiana?
Well, we talk about Raynock.
He's probably the best. Manning, Raynock. mean, Jansen was from down there, but he kind of, I mean, I think we'd all agree, you know, he's kind of disqualified.
Yeah, he certainly had an opportunity to be on that list, but.
Going back to an earlier comment, then I'll get out of here, Russ. You talking about your former boss putting beer in the sink at work. Only time I've ever done that, and I don't claim to be an expert on beer, but I know a thing or two about it. And I've been known to do that in hotels when I was traveling and didn't have a cooler. But that's just kind of, it is kind of weird for any, like, long duration.
Yeah, I always found it odd. Hope I'm not throwing that guy under the bus. He was a nice enough guy.
You didn't name him.
Yeah.
He did change the format to Spanish music without telling us. And just sort of showed up one day. It's like, oh, okay.
I love it when we get the Spanish phone calls.
Big change.
We get the Spanish phone calls.
Yeah, we still get Spanish phone calls occasionally over there.
Oh, yeah, this 1340 used to be Spanish, right?
It did.
Yeah. 1340 used to be the rock station in town back in the day.
You think Nate will tell us before he flips it back to Spanish, or we just show up and the keys don't work one day?
Yeah, key cards aren't going to work one day.
That's probably the way I'd do it.
Yeah.
Cut ties easiest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Avoid those unpleasant conversations.
Wash your hands.
Anything else, Westchester?
If y'all are running out of topics later this week, maybe best out-of-state coaches, assistants, and heads.
Out-of-state coaches.
Coaches. That doesn't.
I guess the only people that really throws off of there is Fulmer
and Major,
I guess. Yeah. Major. So maybe I didn't think that through enough. All right. I'll get
we do something with coaches. Yeah. Thank you, Westchester. Appreciate the phone call. I'm intrigued by that JUCO deal, the all JUCO team. Have we had a JUCO QB?
We could do an all time craziest coaches. We've had some nut jobs here over the years. Crazy Craig Fitzgerald.
We never had a JUCO QB, did we?
Man, we've had a couple of transfer ones recently.
You sure?
Did Keller Chris go JUCO before going to Stanford?
Well, no, he was from Stanford.
I didn't know if he went JUCO before going to Stanford.
I don't think Stanford's recruiting the JUCOs.
None of those stiffs in the late 70s, early 80s were... None of those guys were JUCO guys.
Yeah, somebody have to clue me in there.
I mean, not that those guys were stiffs, but we had like Steve Alatorre. We had a bunch of crazy name Corey. He actually took us to the Garden State Bowl, where I think we beat Wisconsin. The year you were born, Russ, maybe.
We had a bunch of JUCO running backs. Kamara, Charlie Garner.
Tyon Evans.
Got Tyon Evans this year, yeah. Receivers, any JUCO receivers? Billy Williams go from the Juke?
Vaughn Pearson.
Oh, yeah.
Billy Williams went JUCO, right, Bear? He's from Alcoa.
I believe so. Yeah, I mean, he played at Alcoa. He was really good.
Yeah, he was.
In high school. Not as good as Randall, but he was really good. They were loaded out there back then.
Offensive lineman, Albert Tawina. Remember Big Toe?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember him.
Big Toe. Shout out to Big Toe. Mahalono was JUCO, right? I want to say Mahalono was JUCO.
I believe he was. Weren't him and Tawina were connected? I think they're related.
I guess you have to throw Leonard Little in there. Chris Mims. No, Mims
Chuck
wasn't.
Smith.
I always get Mims mixed up. There are so many JUCO guys. Dale Carter, Chuck Smith.
Chris Mims and Chuck Smith were both JUCO guys, weren't they?
Alvin Kamara.
Yeah.
Hutchinson. Oh, yeah.
We mentioned that. Yeah. That was the first name we mentioned, Rick.
Pay attention, son.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Spacing out on us again.
Cordarrelle Patterson was JUCO.
Yep. There have been some good ones for sure.
Yeah, and we've had some incredible special teams play, like kickers over the years.
From
Mike
JUCO?
Rivera and Big Dan McCullers.
Maybe not from JUCOs, but you know, the Colquitts.
Yeah, but
the Reves family.
They were mentioned prominently yesterday.
Carlos and Fuad.
All right, we got a lot to get to here, folks. We got to cram it in here this last segment. We got Hot Take Cold Take brought to you by Blue Water coming up here in just a second. And final takes of the day. Stay with us. The shocking conclusion of The Drive coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
It's Cold Take. I'm going to go cold.
I think we 4 or 5 at most.
Yeah.
If I wanted to do the thing you do, I'd question your loyalty to one Tony Vitello. Don't sound very confident to me. What would Tony say? You're not going to get a ride in his Maserati like that, Bear.
What have I done? What have I done?
What have you done? You coward.
I was guessing. I got distracted.
It's too late. It's out.
It's 50-50, so I said, no, thanks. John, play it off and now I'm down myself. I'm not going to – I can't. It's Tony Vitello. Whatever spins most positive for Coach Vitello, that's what I'm spinning. Everybody knows that.
Wow.
I'm as big as Sunshine.
Wow.
Sunshine pump.
Are you buying that? Are you buying that? Because it is perfectly reasonable to assume that Bear was not paying attention. That –
It's like, is that another hot take?
Honest to God, just to prove it to you, I'll tell you what I was doing.
Oh boy.
Do I even want to know? Clipping your toenails?
Nah.
Watching an Oasis YouTube video.
Well, I mean, I'm always doing that, but I was trying to get my big sister to make me a hot baked ham and Swiss pita sandwich for supper.
All right, proceed, guy.
Number two. More than 2 players will be drafted from the Volunteers at next year's NFL draft.
Oh, Lord. Ooh. I have not even thought about who.
Oh, no.
That's, I mean, do we have anybody?
Sure. You have Cade Mays.
Okay.
Velus Jones, maybe.
Okay. Oh, hot take. Yeah.
So we just need those two guys and maybe one. Okay, so one more than those two
maybe
guys?
Alante Taylor.
Alante Taylor.
Not the receivers.
The transfer defensive lineman that we just got from USC.
I'll say hot take, but I don't think it's – I mean, maybe 3.
I'm going to say hot take, and the third comes from the offense. I think that's going to be the most productive thing to look good.
Yeah. Jerome Carvin maybe plays himself. And
Darnell Wright, maybe if he plays well enough.
Yeah,
he
can. Okay. We'll see. I'm not super confident in that one, but I'm going to vote with my heart there.
All right, moving on. Stone Cold Steve Austin is the greatest wrestler of all time.
Cold take. He's very good. He's on Mount Rushmore. He's no Hulk Hogan.
I think I'd have to agree. He's on the Mount Rushmore, but he's no Shawn Michaels.
I think Stone Cold's better than Shawn Michaels.
I think in terms of just being a wrestler. Oh, no.
Well, I'm talking about just...
The whole
presence,
package.
Everything.
Oh,
not just in ring.
I always like the talkers. That's why I'm on the radio.
He wasn't a very good wrestler, right? He was just
a
baller.
He was before he got hurt and before he broke his neck.
Before he had the knees.
Owen dropped him on his skull. I always like the personality guys. That's why I like the radio. So I like The Rock in that kind of situation. But they're 50-50.
Bear?
Yeah, I'll roll with Rick on this one.
Hold on. What is the topic? What are you doing? Why are you even here?
Agree with me.
Do you need to just go?
No.
You have no idea what's happening.
Yeah, I do.
No, you don't. You don't. What are we talking about?
Sure, I do.
What are we talking about?
I lost my train of thought there for a second.
Just stop lying.
Well,
Just admit it. You're not. We have
I spaced
the
out a little bit, yeah.
Minimal amount.
Wrestling. I heard Rick reference The Rock.
Is that it?
Yeah, we got one more.
All right, one more.
Bear left his mic cover here, so hot take, cold take that he'll never use it again since I had to take it off the mic.
Oh, that's a big hot take. Yeah, he might come in and incinerate that tomorrow.
Yeah, no way I'm using that.
He might expect
again.
It to be incinerated before he even gets here.
Yeah,
that was
probably. Did you take it off with your bare hands? Are you using it? Is that still it?
It's sitting right there. right next to the Lysol.
Throw it away for me.
Throw it away.
It's a waste.
Yeah.
How many times did you use it? Just today?
No, I've used it for a couple of weeks.
I will give it to Charlie Collier.
I don't care. What do they cost? Like 50 cents a piece here?
I don't know.
I'll go buy some more. It's not hygienic. I don't know if you realize this, Russell. I kind of got a situation going on. Excuse me for wanting to be a little bit healthy for a change. You've been yelling at me for years.
There's the hot take, cold take brought to you by Blue Water Climate Control. Everybody is we're in that weird quasi period where it's, I use the heat in the morning and the cool in the afternoon, and you're going back and forth and everything. That can be tough on the machine, man. Call our friends at Blue Water Climate Control. They'll get you straightened out. 865-299-2290, or just go online to Blue Water ClimateControl.com, locally owned and operated, veteran owned and operated, Blue Water Climate Control, where it's about solutions, not sales pitches. They do it right at Blue Water. Real quickly before we wrap up today, I've got some bad news, Rick.
Tell me.
I got kind of curious. Uh-huh. I was about to buy some of the blue light glasses. You know they don't work, right?
What do you mean?
They don't work.
Don't do this to me
they
right now.
They don't work.
Don't do this to me. Why would you do that? I've gone by the last 2 months of my life believing that this is $15 of the greatest dollars I've ever spent. Why would you do that?
The American Academy of Ophthalmology says you don't need them and has gone on record as not recommending any kind of special eyewear for computer users. The organization says blue light from digital devices does not lead to eye disease and doesn't even cause eye strain. The problems people complain about are simply caused by overuse of digital devices. Furthermore, in the United Kingdom, the College of Optometrists says, quote, the best scientific evidence currently available does not support the use of blue-blocking spectacle lenses in the general population to improve visual performance, alleviate the symptoms of eye fatigue or visual discomfort, improve sleep quality, or conserve macula health.
Well, I'm not giving you my extra pair now.
I mean, if you want your placebo effect
glasses,
so you're
glasses, saying that they do nothing.
That's what
that
he's
it's
saying
a sugar
it's
pill.
Junk science, Rick.
Oh
it's
my
junk science.
God,
your whole
it's
world just
news.
Came crumbling down around you.
Oh man,
I think you look kind of cool in him, Rick.
Thanks.
I'd keep wearing him if I were you.
Appreciate that, but that's a big L today.
You've got a very. I'm about to go off the grid and live out the back of my truck in the national park vibe going on right now.
He looks like that Eric McClure guy that did the 96 bombing.
Do you have any skills with chemicals?
Either that or Koresh.
Sir,
bombs?
I am in jeans and like a no hoodie.
That's called a sweater.
Sweater. And that's not out of the ordinary.
Roger, be our final call of the show. Roger that.
Hey guys. How y'all doing?
Big Rog, doing well. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, Rick. Hey, Rick, man. How you doing, Rick?
Hey, howdy, Roger. Good to hear from you.
You too. That's one. That's why I don't have time, so I always want to ask you if I ask all these questions to y'all. I just want to ask you to get you talking about this, but the draft, that's why I ask you. The last one of y'all about this is how good is it to get four players into a draft every year?
I'd like to have between 5 and 7 or so. How many did Bama have?
Yeah, like 12.
12. And even Kentucky, I think, had 6.
Yeah, UCF had 5. We just took the coach.
Yeah,
from.
I mean, I'd like to have 5 to 8. I realize not every year is going to be great, but and we got to have some guys who are going in round 1, round 2.
Yeah, and I think that we know it wasn't just guys who were staying at Tennessee or guys who were returning to Tennessee. It was just that we didn't have the talent to put them in the draft.
All right, thanks, Rick. Thanks, Bear. Thank you, GP3. Another day, another dollar, another stellar edition of The Drive in the books. Overtime up next. We'll do it again tomorrow right here on Fan Run Radio.